Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministries. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for giving us a new day, a day that we have never seen before, and a day that we will never, ever see again. God, we want to bless you and praise you this day, God, because you alone is worthy. You alone are worthy to be honored and glorified. God, we are thanking you and praising you, O God, because you are God, you are Savior, you are Redeemer, you are the King of Kings, you are the Lord of Lords. Yes, Lord, you are the beginning and the end. You are Alpha and Omega. God, you sit high and you see low. God, we come to praise you. We come to magnify your name. God, we come to lift you up. Father, we ask you, O God, to release the water of heaven right now, O God, and begin to water this ministry, God. Begin to water this ministry that this ministry will come up. This ministry will come up like a large plant, oh God. Oh God, with many fruits, oh God, that many people can go on and, oh God, pluck fruit off for their life, oh God, to be their life source. Oh God, I'm praying today, oh God, that you would, oh God, rain down righteousness upon us, oh God, as we seek your faith and Lord, as we turn from our wickedness, God, we are praying, oh God, the Lord God, that your Lord Jesus, that you'll hear from heaven today. Oh God, we want to hear from heaven. Father, we are praying, Father God, that you would speak to us by your spirit, oh God. Let the anointing destroy the yokes that are in our lives. Let's destroy the yokes that are holding us in bondage, God. We are praying today. We are praying today for that supernatural anointing, oh God, to rest upon each and every one of us, oh God. Father, use only what you can use, oh God. Do with us what only you can do, oh God. We are praying today for transformation. We are praying for healing. We are praying for deliverance, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for bringing home our First Lady from the hospital. We thank you for all that you have done, oh God, for her speedy recovery. We are praying today for my daughter, Amy. We are praying for my daughter, Keisha Levy. Lord, we are praying, oh God, because we know, God, that you are a healer. We are praying for Andre Ponder. We are praying, oh God, that you would do what only you can do, God. Let the anointing destroy the yoke in their lives, God. What the doctor said wasn't possible, there is not possible to the doctors, God, but we know that it's possible to you, God, because you are God. You are the healer. Yes, Lord, you are the life source for everyone that call upon you, oh God. Oh God, even those that don't call upon you, you are still the life source. And God, I thank you, oh God. I thank you, oh God, for showing up each day on this line, oh God, and doing what only you can do, oh God. God, you're restoring men and women lives all over the world on this line, God. God, you're as far as Africa, Lord. You're touching lives, oh God. You're touching people in Kenya. You're touching people in Zambia. You're touching people in Nigeria. You're touching people, oh God, in Liberia. You're touching people in Ghana. You're touching people in Israel and Jerusalem. Lord, you're touching people, oh God, in Syria. You're touching people in Afghanistan and Pakistan, oh God, in Iraq and Iran. God, you're touching people in, oh God, in Europe, all over Europe. God, you're touching people over there in Holland. You're touching people in Belize. God, you're touching people down in Brazil. Lord, in Australia. Lord, God, in Holland. God, in Puerto Rico. Lord, in Peru. Lord, God, you're touching people. Lord, God, you're touching people, oh God, in British Honduras. Lord, you are reaching lives. Oh God, this line is going all over the world. And Father God, it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by your spirit, God, that you're doing what only you can do. So Father God, we bless your holy name this day, God. We bless you and praise you, oh God. We are touching and agreeing today, God, for the glory that will rain down on this line. Oh God, like Saturday, like, oh my God, like Sunday. Oh God, like Friday, like Thursday, like Wednesday, like Tuesday, Lord God, like last Monday, Lord, we are praying for that glory, oh God, to rain down on this land continuously, God, that people will be healed, that people will be delivered, people will be transformed, oh God. Lord, we are praying, oh God, even as you touched Amy in the hospital, my daughter, oh God, and you touch her, God, that the doctors will be amazed to see the transformation. They will be amazed to see, oh God, the new development in her brain, oh God. Lord, that as they look back daily and see that healing is taking place, that that aneurysm is being strengthened, oh God, that they'll see that, God, that the tissue, the brain is, oh God, in the vein, oh God, the artery in her brain is, God, being healed. God, I'm declaring and decreeing right now because you are my Jehovah Rapha, Lord God. You are my Jehovah Nisi. You are my Jehovah Shammah, Lord God. You are my Jehovah El Shaddai. Yes, Lord, you are my Jehovah Tiskanu, Lord God. You are Jehovah Shalom. Shalom. Oh, God, and God, I thank you today, God, for what you have done and what you are about to do, God. You are a mighty God. You are a mighty God. And God, I praise you right now. I praise you right now. I praise you. And I glorify your name, God. I'm praying that today, God, that you would touch all the sons and daughters all over the world, oh, God, that are seeking for a new way of life, God. And let them hear from heaven, oh, God. Let them hear from heaven. God, let them hear your word. Let your word be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path, even as it is unto our feet and unto our path. God, we are praying today for the word that will come over this radio at some point in time, God. We are praying that the word, oh God, that come forth will be full of power. It was full of authority. Oh God, it would be, oh God, anointed word, oh God. It would be a word that will bring life to the hearer. God, my God, and sight to the blind. I'm praying today that it would give strength to the crippled. I'm praying today that the word that come forth over this land, not only today, but every day, God, it would be powerful. And, oh, God, it would be anointed. Oh, God, it would be a word, God, that will not have any of the speaker in it. Oh, God, but it will have all of you. It will be a word that is saturated with you, with who you are. God, we pray today. We pray today, oh, God, that your presence, oh, God, will be felt all near and far. We are praying today, God, that your word, oh, God, will go near and far. We are praying, our God, for the word, oh God, to touch the north, the south, and the east, and the west. Lord God, we are praying today. Yes, Lord. We are praying for every pastor, every minister, every believer, oh God. We are praying for every believer to hear the word of God and live the word of God. We are praying today, Lord God. Yes, Lord Jesus, we are praying. God, you said, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face, Lord God, and turn from the wicked ways, you said you would hear from heaven. Yes, Lord, that you will forgive their sins and heal their land. So today, Lord God, we are praying, oh God. We are seeking your faith, Lord. We are seeking your faith because we know, Lord God, if we seek your faith, we'll get your hand. Father God, we are seeking your face today. And Lord, we are seeking your face for those that are sick and shut in, those that don't know how to pray, those that don't know how to come to the Savior. Lord, we are praying that somebody today would hear word from heaven. Oh, God, they would hear word from heaven. And even the glory, oh, God, that is saturating this place right now would touch them. Would touch them deep down in their belly, deep down in their soul, God, and draw them closer to you, God. You said no one can come to you except you draw them. So, Lord, we are praying today that the word as it come forth today would draw people to you. It would draw people to you, God. We are praying for every pastor, every leader, every minister, God, every elder, God, every evangelist, every prophet, every prophetess, Lord God. We are praying today. We are praying, oh God, for every apostle, oh God. Oh my God, every teacher, Lord God. And God, that they would hear from heaven that what they speak, oh God, would be, oh God, come from the throne room, oh God, that there would be none of us but all of you, oh God. We are praying today, Lord God. We are praying today to be awakened up in the church, oh God. And we're praying today that the church will come alive, oh God. The church will come alive to your spirit, to your instructions, oh God. That the church will begin to live the word, oh God. That the church will not just speak the word, but the church will become the word, oh God. I pray today, oh God. Lord God, we are praying today for a fresh manifestation of your glory. Oh God, yes, 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 yes. Yesterday, manifestation was good, but Lord, we need a fresh manifestation of your glory today, oh God, to take take us through this day, God. We thank you, God. God, we thank you, for you are a forgiving God, a righteous God, a holy God. And God, we bless your name right now. Holy Spirit, we want to fill the atmosphere right now. Lord, we are asking you to saturate the atmosphere with your presence even right now. God, we are asking you to sterilize the atmosphere. Everything that's in the atmosphere that's not like you, God, we're asking you to remove the viruses out of the atmosphere. Every tormented, every demonic, every sorcerer, every warlock spirit that's in the atmosphere, God, we're asking you this morning by the precious name of Jesus to send them back to hell where they came from. And God, we know that, God, that sickness does not come from you. The attacks come from the enemy to take our focus off of you. But God, we declare and decree, it doesn't matter what comes, God, we are still keep our focus on you. Our focus will remain on you. Yes, Lord God, we bless you. And we praise you right now. We want to go into worship for about 10, 15 minutes, and then the woman of God is going to come on and bring a word from heaven. Yes, Lord, a word from heaven. Yes, Lord, we said a word from heaven. Glory to God.
We your temple, give your reverence, so
Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Ah, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's see. Glory, 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 glory. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for this time to come before you in worship. And God, we are praying even right now that you would anoint your servant's lips, her eyes, and her ears, O God, and that you would allow her to see, hear, and speak what thus says the Lord. We are asking, O God, that she might decrease and you increase even the more, O God. God, you have already saturated the atmosphere. You have already sterilized the atmosphere. And your presence is here. God, we accept your presence. Oh, God, you said you wouldn't come where you're not welcome. So, God, we welcome you and we accept you right here, even right now. God, we are asking you to do with us and to us and through us what only you can do, oh, God. God, touch the airways today. That as the signal go forth today, that nothing would hinder the signal. That all these phones and computers, they would all work according to your will, oh God. That somebody might be saved on today. Somebody might be healed. Somebody might be delivered. Somebody might be restored on today. God, we thank you for the work that you are doing. God, we bless your holy name. God, you are healing people even right now under the sounding of my voice. Your spirit is moving, oh God. And God, we bless you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Okay, evangelist, come on in and you can do what thus says the Lord.
Oh, the blood, oh, the blood does not name. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood, oh, the blood of my name. Oh, the blood, oh, the blood, oh, the blood of my name. Oh, the blood. Does not my name. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need it. Oh, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to. I come to thee, yes, 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 Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord, for allowing us to be here this morning in the name of Jesus. We do reverence our Heavenly Father this morning in the name of Jesus, giving honor to you, Apostle David, you late Lady Nancy Callender, to your family and to all of our Father's children this morning, to Evangelist Caroline Smith and Zayden, who are here this morning in the name of Jesus in our presence this morning. We thank God for everyone who's on the line this morning, to your individual spouses, to your sanctuaries, to the God that we serve, our Father and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We invite you into our hearts this morning. I invite you into my heart, into my life, as I surrender to the Lord this morning in the name of Jesus. I'm learning that it's a daily process. I must surrender daily. I just can't say I surrender one day and just keep living, but I got to surrender every day in the name of Jesus. And I just thank God, who is the author and the finisher of my life and the creator of my being this morning. First, we thank God for each and every one of us and breathing life upon us this morning. And at this time, we pause to offer you salvation through and by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you this morning as we come before you with humble hearts right now, God, in the name of Jesus, with lifted up spirits, God, in the name of Jesus, to you, God, in the name of Jesus, as we worship and praise you, God, even some with bowed down heads reverencing you this morning, Father. We say thank you for your word, God, as it shall go forth. And, Father, as we send salvation to your world this morning, God, not just no one person, but to as many as was listening under the sound of my voice this morning, even to those who need to rededicate their life to you this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. We come now, God, offering salvation and rededication in the name of Jesus to those who as many as will listen. For you said in your word, the day that men hear your voice, to harden not their heart. And you told us, Father, to lift you up. And as we lift you up, you will draw all men unto you. And I thank you right now, Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning there may be one, there may be many. However, if there's just one or many this morning, we still offer you this opportunity to come to Jesus, to accept and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life this morning. If you accept him, believe him, and confess him, you can have salvation this morning. Salvation can't be bought, sold, or traded. It can only be obtained by through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The 10th verse go on to tell us that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we're here this morning with you. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe that God raised him from the dead and confess him with your mouth, you can be saved if you'll just say these words with me today. I'll lead you through the process of salvation. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, I come now, a sinner, just as I am. I repent of my sins, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And right now, Father, I ask forgiveness of my sins, Father. And Father, I say thank you as I repent for forgiving me of my sins. For it is written in your word, if I confess you, Lord Jesus, with my mouth and believe in my heart, God, that you raised your son Jesus from the dead, I shall be saved. And right now, Father, I do confess you, Lord Jesus, with my mouth. I do believe in my heart, God, that you raised your son Jesus from the dead. Your word says, Father, as it is written, I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I am saved. Today is the day of my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you confess the Lord Jesus today with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved today by grace through faith in the name of Jesus. As the angels in heaven celebrate over one, I celebrate, I salute your salvation with you today in the name of Jesus. Jesus recommended that you be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We recommend that you get into a Bible-based church, teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, his conception, his birth, his life, his burial, his resurrection. Know that there is a purpose and a plan for your life today, because God gave you his only begotten Son that we might have a right to the tree of life. Study your word is another recommendation that we make. Study your word. The Bible consists of 66 books. But when you begin to study your word from Genesis to Revelation, we recommend that you begin your study with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so that you'll know about this Jesus that we keep telling you about, this Jesus that we keep preaching about, teaching about, this Jesus. So as the angels in heaven celebrate, we celebrate with you today, April the 7th, 2014. Today is a new day in your life. The blood of Jesus has redeemed you. As Apostle Calendar, if you do not have a church family to go to in your area, Pastor Calendar will receive you here under the authorship of the Holy Ghost at Resurrection Power Church in Christ in the name of Jesus, under his guidance. And then when you're ready to go out, Apostle will release you by letter of Christian grace. This morning we're going to be talking about who is this? Who is this? So many times, too often, we wonder about a lot of things in our life. But we're not going to take for granted that you know this person that we're talking about today, Jesus. Too often, too many times, we take things lightly and we take things for granted. But we want to talk to you this morning about who is this. And when we say who is this, go with me to chapter 63 of Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. This morning we're going to talk to you about who is this. Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, beginning at the first verse, begins to read, "Who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save." This was a Masonic prophecy that came out of Jeremiah. And then this morning, who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah? Bozrah is the capital of Edom, and Bozrah also means that this servant, the people, the congregation. It's bad to know that when the pastor stands in the holy place that the congregation beats him down and he walks around beaten and trodden, and he says, "Who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments, the glory of Christ? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in greatness of his strength." Not traveling in the strength of man, but traveling in the strength of his own power, traveling in the strength of his own self, it says. And it says, "I speak in righteousness, mighty to save." Who can save you? We can only be saved through and by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he said, "I speak in righteousness, mighty to save." When we speak the word of God, when we speak, do we speak in righteousness? Do we walk upright? Do the language that we speak line up with the word of Jesus Christ? Isaiah 45 and 19 says, "I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in the land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth, I declare what is right. And then Isaiah 63 say, why are your garments red? When verse number 2, wherefore art thy garment thy red in thy apparel? So the people want to know, you know, when they see him coming, why are your garments red? And thy garments like him that treaded in the wine fat. What is the wine fat, Evangelist Campbell? Wine fat is when in the days when the gatherers, the grape gatherers, they came together and they took all the grapes and they put the grapes in a container. And they began to mash on the grapes to tread out the wine for the pressing. And if you know, sometimes even in the pressing, we even on yesterday, thank you, Holy Spirit, it was a pressing for me to make it to the house of the Lord. It is a pressing that Jesus Christ came that we might be saved. It was not easy because when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he began to pray. And as he began to pray, the Word of God teaches us that as he began to pray, sweat as the drops of blood come down upon him. And so he was drenched in his own sweat as drops of blood. But then Jesus, as he went to his disciples and he told his disciples, he says, can you not watch with me? Can you not pray with me? And but they were so tired. They were so, you know, even in their presence, they just gave up. But it was a pressing in it for Jesus Christ. And he prayed again unto the Father. He came back as he prayed again. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Why did he say that? Because when he looked and he began to look in the cup and he's seen all of the ruins, he's seen all the destruction, he's seen all the hatred, he's seen all the backbiting, he's seen all the deliverance, he's seen all of the adulterous ways that we have, he's seen all the whoremongers, he's seen all the liars, all of this destruction that he's seen, he said, must I drink from this cup? So he said that they wanted to know, wherefore art thou garments red? Because you have been trodden in a press, in a wine vat. But I want to tell you today, his garments were not red because they were pressed, because he was pressing out the grapes. His garments were red with the blood stains of the battle that was already won for us, the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse number 3 says, I have trodden the winepress alone. See, no man can do this thing that Jesus Christ has done for us. Revelation tells us in the 19th chapter and the 13th verse of Revelation, it tells us, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Not the blood of man, but the blood of his own blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. And his name is called the Word of God. And it tells us, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And but then when you go down to verse 21, it says, and the remnant which were slain with the sword of him upon the heart, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You see, the congregation, this is Bozra. The people, we're slain the man of God today. So what does he do? He took upon all of this upon his shoulders. And he says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. We say, who will go with me? But I serve you notice today, none will go with him. Even the ones that were close with him, Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him, but then he still had to go on alone on this journey. There are going to be some times in our lives when we're going to have to go alone. We're going to wonder where everybody is and who would go with me. You'll wonder who would stand with me. To all the pastors and the apostles and the preachers and the bishops and evangelists today, sometimes you're going to have to go alone. Sometimes you're going to have to stand in a congregation alone. There may not be anybody in the congregation, but you must still stand and show God that you're willing to stand. Because I tell you, I serve you notice today, when you stand, God stands with you. You do not stand alone. You may seem to be standing alone in front of men, but I serve you notice today that God stands with you. Who is this I'm talking about? I'm talking about this Jesus, Son of a true and living God. This Jesus who is 100% man. This Jesus who is 100% God. This Jesus who died on Calvary but didn't stay dead, who got up with all power of heaven and earth. I'm talking about this Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. His clothes, his raiment, death in his own blood. Who will go with me today? Who will stand with me today to declare the name of Jesus Christ? Verse number 3, for I will tread them in my anger, the anger of God, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. You see, you don't have to worry about those who come up against you in the church today. You don't have to worry about them coming up against God, because God don't want you to fight his battle. The battle is not yours. The battle belongs to God. He just wants you to stand with him today. Will you stand and allow this Jesus that we're talking about to stand with you today? Even in the wine press, the place where men press, the process which makes it better, the more the pressing, the better it is. The more depressing, how can you get the oil from the olive? It has to be pressed. The oil cannot come out of the olive, out of the grape, until it is pressed. And then once it is pressed, it's going through a process. So see, in your pressing, you are being processed. He said he would sit at the right hand of God in heaven. Hallelujah. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, who is this Jesus? Who is acting like God? Who is this man? Asked the Pharisees when they heard Jesus forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone? In Luke 5:21, they say, sin is an offense against God. But see, they didn't know that. Who they didn't even know. But yet these men who were scholars, who had many degrees, who had much knowledge, still did not know that this was Jesus who was talking with them. Still did not know this is Jesus who was in the congregation with them. So they began to accuse him. And then they say, sin is an offense. This man talking like he can forgive sin. This man said he can give salvation. Who is this man acting like he is God? Who is this? Who is him? How could a human being speak for God and say the offense is removed from his record? Huh? Blasphemy, they say this. Blasphemy. You see, because the word of God tells us, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And we get mad when someone calls us ignorant. But ignorance is the lack of knowledge. When you don't know it, you are ignorant to the word of God. And when you are ignorant to the word of God, you perish. Destruction come upon you. See, the Pharisees had no knowledge, and their ignorance took over in their place, in their stead. So here it is. They did not believe him, Jesus, when he told them that if you tear my house down, I will build it in 3 days. Who is this Jesus who claimed to be such perfect communication with God that he did only what God wanted him to do? John, the 5th chapter of John tells us. You'll go with me to the 5th chapter of John. And the 19th verse, John 5th chapter, the 19th verse, says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we cannot do nothing of our own selves. Without Jesus, we are nothing today. Without the Holy Spirit, without God, we are nothing today. We cannot stand without him today. Then it says, Jesus said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. If I am your Son, I will adopt the personality of my Father. And this is where we are today in the name of Jesus. Who is this Jesus that we have adopted his personality today? I heal in the name of Jesus. I speak in the name of Jesus. I make declarations in the name of Jesus. I decree it in the name of Jesus. So the Pharisees said, who is this man that speak like and talk like he is God? The Pharisees did not understand that this is God that they was talking to. The Pharisees had lack of knowledge, but we're here today so that you can understand that this is Jesus that you must adapt to your Father. Many times we see our children, and they have so many personalities and traits like us. You'll find yourself saying, this is truly my child. Is that what Jesus is saying about you and I today? If the Father saying, this is truly my child. The Pharisees want to say, who is this man acting like he is God? He knew that God was the judge of the world, but he also claimed to be a judge. In that same chapter of John, in the 22nd verse, he told them, he said, for the Father judges no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son. So Jesus was telling them, he gave me that power to judge. He gave me that authority to judge. He could raise the dead, even himself. And I want you to know one thing today, that this Jesus that we're talking about today, this Jesus Christ that they took from judgment hall to judgment hall, the same Jesus that they took before Pilate, the same Jesus that Pilate said, I wash my hands, and the same Jesus that they said, give up Barabbas. You keep him because we want to see Barabbas freed. The same Jesus that they said, we will rather have a murderous man, but you keep that man. The same Jesus that they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said, what will you have me to do with your Jesus? Pilate said, you want me to crucify your Jesus? They began to say, crucify him. Even the scholars, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they said, crucify him. Oh, we crucify today in the name of Jesus. Lord, I tell you, thank you right now, God, that you took on the crucifixion for us. And then they took him and they declared that he shall be crucified. His garment stained in blood. Why is his garment stained in blood? Because they persecuted him. They whipped him all day and they whipped him all night long. And then after they beat him and they whipped him with many stripes, they put him inside a cell. And in the cell they put a crown of thorns upon his head. I'm talking about this Jesus who was slain for you and I today, that we might live and have the right to the tree of life today. I'm talking about this Jesus, God's only begotten Son today. This Jesus, they released him. They took him to Calvary Hill. They marched him to Golgotha, and they put him on the cross. This Jesus who they laid him down and they nailed him to the tree. This Jesus, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Ghost, that they pierced him in his side and blood and water came running down. This Jesus that they took from the cross and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. I'm talking about this Jesus that when Mary went back to the tomb to look for this Jesus, he wasn't there in the tomb. He had gotten up with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. I'm talking about this Jesus when he was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This same Jesus, this Jesus who they say is acting like God, this Jesus who was fully human, this Jesus who called himself a man and people called him a man, this same Jesus, who is this Jesus who sit at the right hand of our Father in heaven? The same Jesus I'm talking about. Our salvation depends on this Jesus who made intercession for us in the garden. When he made intercession for us, it didn't just start on the Calvary cross, but he did it when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew that he had to take the walk alone. The songwriter said, no, never alone. The songwriter said, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me alone. He promised never to leave us alone. Why do you say that, Evangelist? Because he said, I'm going to my Father, which is in heaven. And when I go, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send a comforter back. So this Jesus was the comforter, the Holy Ghost. This Jesus, this same Jesus, who is this? Who do he think he is? This what they were saying. Who is this Jesus that's talking about, I'm going to, if you tear my house down, I'll build it back up in 3 days. So when they took him from the cross and they laid him in a borrowed tomb, he didn't just stay there. Jesus was a physical being. He was a mortal man. But this same Jesus who has the authority of God, this same Jesus who has given us that same power, that same authority. But guess he wasn't even jealous with it. He wasn't even selfish with it. He said, greater works shall we do. I give you that power. I give you that authority. This same Jesus who shared God's glory, this same Jesus, this Jesus. And it is appropriate for us to worship Jesus, to celebrate his life. Jesus is truly human. Jesus is truly divine, showing us what God is like and what humanity should be like. Are we following after this Jesus today? Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, truly human, truly God. Jesus, the Son of God, is divine. The Son of God, but not the Father, did not. The Son of God and the Father are distinct. The Son and the Father, they are one. God, the Father, the Son are persons in that one God. The Son and the Father are persons in that one God. There's only but one God. Jesus tells us there's one God. One God. He said, there is none good but my Father, which is in heaven. So we have to make that declaration today in the name of Jesus, that this Jesus, the same Jesus who our salvation depends upon, being both human and divine, how can this be? How can someone infinite become infinite? Yes, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How can someone infinite become infinite in his own measure? Because when you read with me in Isaiah 63:1, he says, I that speak the righteousness, mighty to save. He said, in his own strength, in his own strength. And then he told us in the third verse, I have trodden the winepress alone. No man can go with me where I'm going. But I want you to understand something. Jesus had to complete his mission, even on the cross, when they were accusing him for healing and delivering and bringing salvation on the Sabbath. Even on the cross, he took the time out. He stopped dying long enough to say, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Who would choose Jesus this day? You see, sometimes we will even need, I had an assignment. I had another assignment for this past weekend, thank you, Holy Spirit. But in that assignment, I had to stop, and I had to choose to do an assignment for Jesus. You see, I had to give up my desire to travel where I wanted to go, to do what I desire to do. I had to give up my desire. You see, just for a moment, Jesus had to give up and press in the name of Jesus. And he gave salvation even at the cross. Not just at the cross, but on the cross. Near the cross. There was this cross near the cross of Jesus. So when this man was at the cross, near the cross of his life, he was at a crossroad in his life. And he told him, he said, leave. He told the other thief on the cross. He was a thief on the cross. There were two thieves there with Jesus. One of the thieves said, if thou be the Christ, come down and save yourself and us. The other thief said, leave him alone. He done us no harm. We've done this to ourselves. How many of us would take the time out to say, we've done this to ourselves? But how many of us, as children of God, even knowing that they did it to themselves, will cover them in the name of Jesus? You see, when this man said, leave him alone, we did it to ourselves. The blood of Jesus took and covered this man. He said, this day will thou be with me in paradise. You see, Jesus covered his sins, and this Jesus that the Pharisees were saying, you don't have the right to tell nobody that their sins are forgiven and cast them to the sea of forgetfulness and never to return no more. Speak life. The Pharisees wanted him to say that he was not the Son of God. Will you stand for righteousness? Will you stand for holiness when man will say to you, deny your Jesus? Deny God and come with us. Will you stand and say, I will not deny the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I and my Father are one because I stand with him. Great is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Will you stand with this Jesus today? Who is this Jesus? Is Jesus Christ we're talking about today? Son of a true and living God. This is who we're talking about today. This Jesus. Revelation 14:19 tells us. Revelation the 14th chapter and the 19th verse speaks as follows. And the angels thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great wine press of the wrath of God. And the wine press was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the wine press, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. You must understand that in the name of Jesus, there's going to be a great weeping, a That's going to be a great wailing. Verse 10 of the 20th chapter of the 14th chapter of Revelation says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. You said the Spirit that they may rest for their labors, from their labors, and from their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud was set unto like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice unto him that sat upon the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and a reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. The Bible teaches us that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Who is this? Will you stand with Jesus? Will you stand with him today? Will you stand with Jesus today, knowing that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few? Why was his garment in red apparel? Christ having satisfied the church concerning his person. You see, we have to satisfy. So here it is. He says, I'm going to trun them down. I'm going to trun them out. The wine vat rather than the wine press, where the grapes were trodden with his feet. The bloodstained banner. Who will raise the bloodstained banner? Who will raise the banner of bloodstains? Who will go with us in the name of Jesus? You see, his garments, when he come down from the transfiguration, the Bible tells us they were white as snow, whiter than any fuller on earth could whiten them. No, you couldn't even use bleach or whatever you use. It says that he was whiter than snow. But I'm here to tell you, bleach won't whiten out your stains of sin. Clorox won't whiten you. Your white out won't whiten you. It will not wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus, this Jesus that we're talking about today, he became blood suffering for us so that we might live, so that we might have the right to the tree of life, so that we may live in the abundance of life. I serve you notice today that they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now, God, in the name of Jesus, as we say thank you for your word that has gone forth today, God. In the name of Jesus, we speak life in the name of Jesus. For you told us, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, the everlasting doors. God, we say thank you right now in the name of Jesus. For you said that your sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down. And then you told us, God, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom. Even the children of Edom, O God, in the name of Jesus. You took on the blood-stained vesture so that you could conquer in your glory, O God, exhibiting life in your own strength, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to say thank you for your unshakable mercy, your unshakable grace. We say thank you right now, Father. Thank you that you will penetrate the hearts of men today, that they will hear your voice and harden not their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Apostle Calendar.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Evangelist, for that word. The word of God is alive. It is sharp. It's quicker than a two-edged sword. It is. Who is this? Powerful, powerful word. Powerful word. We thank the Lord for you for delivering as the Lord has given you utterance today. It was a mighty word. We thank the Lord. Father, we just bless you. We praise you. And we glorify your name, Jesus, for what you have done today, how you have used your servant, O God, to release and relay that word to us today. God, the word has gone forth to the north, the south, and the east and west. God, people are hearing, people are receiving even right now, God. God, people are coming to a better understanding of who you are. God, there's so many people receiving salvation this morning, so many people receiving healing, deliverance, and restoration, God. We ask you right now, oh God, that you will refill your servant even right now. Open the windows, the doors, and the gates of heaven and pour the oil that only comes from you, oh God, and refill her. God, sharpen her, oh God, that she will be equipped with everything that she needs to do what you have called her to do, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for the work that you have begun, and Lord, we know that you will complete it, God, in her and through her. God, we thank you this morning. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. The evangelist Baxter, she's at a funeral, and she'll be going to another funeral, I think, tomorrow too, or some other day this week, about two or three funerals she's going this week. So she says she called early this morning. We talked with her this morning. She said a prayer. Keep her in prayer. You know, there's so much going on right now. We got to stay in prayer. Now, don't you get discouraged. Don't you get discouraged about what the enemy's trying to do to us and to our families. Don't you get discouraged, because I'm not. Don't you get discouraged. The enemy knows that his time is drawing nigh. So he is releasing everything that he can at the people of God. But I'm here to tell you, people of God, today, don't you get tired. Don't you give up, because he is already defeated. Okay, I want you to know that. I was listening to the evangelist teach and preach the word this morning, and the Lord began to speak to me. And I talked to evangelist about that a little bit this morning. The Lord began to speak to me. And the Lord began to speak to me about accessing the glory. Talked to Minister Grace on yesterday. And this is all I'm hearing in my spirit. The Lord is talking about us, his people, accessing the glory. What are you talking about, Apostle? I don't know what you're talking about, because I don't know about accessing this glory. Well, let me just put my phone. Let me go ahead and leave that alone. Accessing the glory, we need the glory to do what God called us to do and do it for God. Too many people are trying to act. Too many leaders today, all over the world, they don't like me. I'm telling the truth. I know they don't like me, because I come at leaders just like Jeremiah. I come at leaders all the time, because I know this is my commission that God has given me to really release what's in me, what he put in me, to help leaders to get to that place that they need to be. Too many leaders today, as you go from north to south, from east to west, all they're going after today, people, I'm telling you the truth. They're going after the money. They're going after the big plane. They want all these bathrooms, all these bedrooms that they can't even use. They ain't even invite nobody to their house. They're inviting the what they call the elite. The elite elect, they call them, elite elect, to their homes, because they want to show off how they got this and got that. And they ain't doing no work for the kingdom. Let me tell you something. You better believe what I'm telling you. They're not doing any work for the kingdom. They're making a lot of noise, like the Bible talk about. They're making like empty symbols, making a lot of noise, but they ain't doing that for the kingdom. They're trying to live off of the fat of the people. You understand what I'm saying? Jeremiah, that's why they put Jeremiah in jail. And they wanted to kill Jeremiah because he was doing the work of the kingdom. And he was exposing these sheep in wolf clothing, or wolf in sheep clothing, however you say it. But this is what is going on. God is saying that we got to access the glory, and we got to go after the glory, because it's the glory that's going to tell the real story. Listen to me. I'm not trying to rhyme, but that's the way the Holy Spirit said to me. It's the glory that's going to tell the real story. Because when we get the glory, when the glory comes upon, we got to let inkling of the glory. But when the full glory come on us, listen to me. I'm telling you all, pray for the glory. Pray for the glory. He said, but I know the Lord said he ain't going to share his glory with anybody, but there's two types of glory. Hallelujah. And I tell you this, I told you all this in 2010, 2011. There's two types of glory. It's in the Bible. There's the glory that is called the reverence of God. That's the glory that he's not going to share with no one else. That glory that he says is his, that he knows his. We know it's his. He's not going to share that with anybody. You're not going to have your son or daughter running around calling somebody his mama, calling him daddy. I'm not sure I'm not going to have my son going on seeing that these other people. I'm not talking about spiritual daddyship. I'm not talking about that. I mean, like owning them as the biological father or mother. You're not going to have your children doing that. But God is not going to have that either. That worship is for him. Okay, that's the glory that he's not going to share with anybody. He is God and God alone. This is why he got upset with Israel when they started worshiping a graven image. God is not going to share that glory. But then there's the glory that he said, talked about in the book of John chapter 17, when he was praying to the Father for the disciples. And not only for the disciples, but for all who would believe on him through their word. He told the Father the glory that he had with him, the glory that the Father put upon him. When John baptized him, and the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord landed upon him like a dove. But that very glory is the glory that he puts on us, that we have to seek, that we have to go after. That's got to be our main objective, to go after that glory. Why? What are you saying, Apostle? So we can do the work with power and authority. That's what God said, go after. And while you were teaching this morning, I heard it a couple times. And when I heard it, I said, okay, Lord, see, I got it. He said, I want you to teach and preach about accessing the glory. He said, my people got to know the truth. Yeah, we got good teaching and good preachers on the line, but we got to understand that if I got to escalate up there, and if I don't have the right oil in that escalator, guess what happened? Listen to me. I'm just using this analogy, and I'm not boasting about the car or anything, because it's just a car to me. It's God's car. And I use it, and I protect it, and I take care of it, because if I don't take care of something, go around, God is going to give me another one. So I got to build me that car. I'm not going to drive it in potholes. I'm not going to drive it with wood with nails and all that stuff. I'm not going to drive it crazy. I treat it like a baby. But listen. If I don't put the right oil in that car, I'm just showing you something. If I don't put the right oil in that car, and I put some other cheap oil that they say don't put in the car, guess what happens? I end up damaging the engine. And even though I have extended warranty, guess what they're going to say? It's my fault. They're not going to give me a new engine for $4,000 or $5,000. They're not going to get to me. But if I take care of that engine and put the right on, guess what happens? It's going to run. It's going to go where I want to go. It's going to do what I want to do. Well, it's the same thing with us. God is saying to us, tap into the glory. And once you tap into the glory, instead of we trying to tap into our own self and have this motivational speaking like other preachers, guess what happened? We're not going to be able to do and accomplish what God wants to accomplish through us. So God says, I want everybody. He said, Apostle, not just you. I want all of my children to tap into the glory. He said, I want them to tap into the glory. And I want them to tap into the glory with everything that's inside of them. That it's got to be their, it's got to be their life source. They're going after the glory. They're not going after money. And then the Lord said to me, he says, God is back. I said, look, man, God woke me up so many times, and all I was saying is, Jesus, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And my wife, she said, what you saw me? You praying, you sleeping in prayer. I said, no, God talking to me, honey, talking to me. And God said, tell the people to start researching the glory. He said, tell them all, start researching the glory. Tell them to begin to become hungry after who I am. Hungry. not only when they feel that they want to put something in the belly. He said, but become hungry 24/7 of the day, have that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, and I'm going to release my glory on them, that when they begin to speak, that even some of these so-called preachers that think that they're so learned and they can exegete the scriptures, he said, what will happen? He said, look, they're going to look at the remnant and say, man, that's a powerful woman of God. That's a powerful man of God. And so why? Because the Lord said they're going to see the glory on us. God said, oh, my God. And the Bible says that the glory can be seen. You can actually touch the glory. He said, look, they're going to see the glory on us. Oh, my God. I was talking to God. She said, Pastor, I said, here, you already on fire. He said, I know you got to put the music on. I just laid you on the bed. And glory to God, I begin to just bathe in God's presence. This is what God is calling for, evangelists, pastors, lay people. Who is this? He wants us to know that he is the glory, the one of glory. And we got to open the gates of our hearts and allow the King of glory to come in. The gates of our hearts, we got to allow him to come in. Because why? He wants to show himself mighty through us. Guess what? He has already done what he had came to the earth to do on the cross at Calvary. But now he wants to show himself mighty through us, just like he showed himself mighty through Paul and Silas in the jail, Peter while he was in jail, Peter while he was walking around talking, Luke while he was writing and declaring the word. He wants to show himself mighty through us. But folk today want to get on television, listen, and they want to show off that they're this great evangelistic preacher. They got these big houses for $4 or $5 million. They got all these Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and so on. And we got millions of poor people dying on the streets for starvation. But you got the men of God that got all of these millions and millions of dollars. They got 3 or 4 Rolls Royce. They got two jets. What they do? Look in Jeremiah. Look in the book of Jeremiah, and you'll see what they're doing in the book of Jeremiah. They're living off the fat of the people. I was in church yesterday, and God just used me yesterday morning. Oh, my God. God is just so awesome. You never know what God's going to do with you on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whatever. But I told some people, I said, look, you know, God told me to, because I don't like begging for money. I tell the truth. I don't like begging for money. I don't like to beg people for $5, $10 an hour. I don't like begging for money. And God said, he said, post on the place for 9 people. And I know it's more money than that to go to Africa. He said, 9 people at $200 a piece to sow a seed into the ministry so we can go and preach and teach the gospel. And he said, he'll do the rest. Oh, so our church, I told a couple of people, I said, no, love. God has opened these doors. These doors have been open for a while. And he's added new doors that are opening up for us to go to Kenya, Africa, and other places of Africa while we're there to minister the gospel. I said, you all know that I don't preach for money. So I said, I need you to one fella, one deacon, another deacon. I said, now I need you all, an evangelist and a usher. I said, I need you and your husband to sow seed at least $200 a piece in the ministry, so we can go. So one lady says, oh, no problem, Apostle. We're going to do that. We're definitely going to sow to help you to go to Africa. All right. So now I told this travel agent that we got in the church, I told her I want her to go on and I told her we can do it too, but I told her go on, she'll get a better price. And I know the price is going to be different to June, but she give me a basic idea how much it's going to cost. And then I want to get a package where I stay at a hotel because I'm not staying in the bush, you know. And whoever go with us, we're not going to stay in the bush. So she said, okay. And then I'm getting ready to go because I had to go to another meeting, another service in the evening time yesterday evening, a healing service for an African church from Nigeria. And one of those advisors comes to me and says, Apostle, how come you ain't asked me to go? She said, I want to go. I said, well, that's good if you want to go, because if you want to go, I'm going to ask the bus to go too, because I'm not wanting you to go to Africa with me and your husband here in America. You know, even though I know that I take care of myself, When I said, take care of myself, you know what I'm talking about. You can't bring no foolishness to me. I said, but I know the church. The church just wants to see the, here. Well, you know what? Sister so-and-so going to Africa with Apostle Keller. Well, you know what? You know what's going to go on over there. You know how people thought. Because church folk like to start stuff, you know, gossip. So I said, yes, I'm glad. I'm going to ask Sister so-and-so, so she can use her credit card and get her ticket. You know, because God shows you stuff. God gives us wisdom. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, it said that the secret things that God will reveal to the saints, it revealed. You know, he reveals it to us. And God don't let you get into a trap and then you say, well, why did I do that? Even though you don't did nothing wrong, why did I didn't cover myself and have some other sister there with her or with him, a brother? You know, you got to cover your tracks. God wants us to tap into this glory, people. And when you all, we are going to teach on the glory. I want you all to start. If you don't know the seven words from the cross, I'll text them to you if you all don't know. Otherwise, we are going to start teaching. Everybody going to teach a message on one of those words. It's really not a word. It's a whole. It's a verses, different verses of the Bible. And we're going to teach on it. And we're going to do a day where everybody going to get a chance to do a piece. Somebody just come on there with the phone kicking up right there. But I put it on mute. So we're going to be teaching on the seven words from the cross, the seven last words, and everybody, we're going to do it one day, and everybody going to get to teach that day a part of one of the words. And you know, we do a little 15 minutes a piece or so like that, you know, 10 or 15 minutes where you get up and release the glory on the line, so somebody can step off and do what thus said the Lord. But what we want to do right here, we want to open the line right now. And we want to open the line for anyone that has a word to share. I think that's possible. Let this come on from Georgia. We're going to open the line right now. The line is open. Anyone has a word they want to share.
Calendar.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I hear you loud and clear.
Praise God. To God be the glory this morning. We give him reference because he is the author and the finisher of our lives, but most of all, he is the Savior of all our lives. And I thank him for saving me, and I thank him for saving everyone that is connected to the line because we need each other. And I thank God for that. Just coming on the line to say that we had a blessed day on yesterday. The Spirit of the Lord was in the house. We give God praise and honor for it, and we say thank you. But most of all, we thank God for today, waking us up into another brand new day that he has made. David reminds us of that. It is the day that the Lord has made. He don't really have to remind us, but if the scripture tells us this, we can say it, but we know that it is the day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it and be happy because we are yet alive and yet have the right to the tree of life. We yet have the opportunity to get it right. We yet have the opportunity to give God the praise, the honor and the glory through his son, Jesus Christ, who came and bare the tree, carried a tree for us to Calvary, all our sins and everything that we've done, and yet he still blesses us, and we thank him for that. But just to say that everything is all well here. We thank Evangelist Campbell for the word this morning. Who is this? Now we know who he is because we have accepted him. We have heard about him. We believe him. We are trying our best to live the life that he has set the roadmap of, as evangelists say, the 66 books for us to live by. We are trying our best to do all that we can by the book, by the word, by the blood. To God be glory. So we're just glad to be here this morning with you all to say that we love you. We pray, God, a blessed day for each and every one of us. My little granddaughter, they called from the school and said that she had a hurting, and I took her some medicine, and she told me, said, Nana, my arm hurt, my head hurt, and my tongue hurt. Ooh. I said, boy, that devil, know he's trying to be busy, but he's a lie from the pits of hell. She's 8 years old, and as I looked at her, I said, now, we're going to give you this medicine, but I know one thing for sure, the God that we serve, he's the healer of all things. When we believe and trust it and depend on him and call out in the name of Jesus, things got to get in order. Things got to get back right. So whatever the devil, whatever his assignment, whatever his attack that he thinks that he can assign to her today, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and I send it back to him in hell where he is.
Right.
I send that back, right back to him, because that won't work. That won't work. To God be the glory. We know the enemy try to come all kind of ways to steal, kill, and to destroy. He'll get in our children. He'll get in the car. He'll get in the dog. He'll get in the cat. Any which way he can try
That's
to
right.
get to God's people. He has no, it's no secret in what he tries to do. But we know a secret because we know a man that can do all things except fail. It's he that's ripping and rolling and running back and forth, and they ain't not doing nothing but burning up himself, preparing hell more for him, that's all. We thank God for it this morning. We just give God the praise to everyone on the line and they that are listening. To God be the glory to you for you today. We just pray that you get your life in order, get everything correct as you can get it, because Jesus is coming back. Live accordingly by the will of God. Live accordingly to the task that he has assigned in your life to do. Do it with the best that you can do it with. Whatever it is that you are doing for Christ, do it with all that you got. And then if you can reach back and get some more of it. To God be the glory. But it is what it is, and that he's on his way back, and he's coming back for us. And when he comes, I want to be caught up. I know you do. And the next one want to be caught up with him. To go back to the Father. In Jesus' name, I just thank everybody. Love everybody. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Evangelist Pastor Smith. These are the seven words that were spoken from the cross. I'm going to give you all. I'm going to pour some right now from 1 to 7, and they go as release them. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. That's number one. Number two, Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Number three, John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. Number four, Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Number five, somebody playing with their phone. Playing somebody turning pages. Number five, John chapter 19, verse 28. Number six, John chapter 19, verse 30. And number seven, Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Those are the seven words or the seven texts that he used from the cross. And someday, I don't know what day it's going to be, that we all are going to come on and we're going to do, he's going to teach a short message, maybe 15 minutes apiece, whoever is available. And we may have to go 2 days because we may not have enough people to do it one day. And we have teach on a word from the last word from the cross, because this is our commission to teach the world what Jesus said from the cross. Okay? So, and you all can teach it in your church, wherever you go, If you get the opportunity to teach a word from the cross, teach it. Those are the seven words from the cross. We call them the seven words. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. The line is open. I think Pastor Brung is on the line. He may have a word he wants to share. The evangelist Campbell may want to pray for some people, pray over the line, but we're opening the line. Pray. Don't forget to pray for evangelist Baxter. She's had one of her friends that passed on and going on to the other side of the world. Life, going to death, cross over to eternal life. So we remember to cover her as she's traveling to the funeral and back to the reception hall. Anyway, the line is open. Pastor Brown, you got a word you want to share?
Father to God. Well, I really was just listening. This was 8:20 a.m. a few minutes ago. And I missed the message, and I really hate that. I missed the message. I know Mr. Campbell really had a good message. I'm sorry I missed it, and I want to apologize to her for not being able to listen to her. But I would just say to her, I feel a spirit after I have heard her on the network for this time she passed. So I'm really, really, I'm knowing that she had a great word. And the main thing I want to also say is this here. Apostle Calvin, keep it up. I'm telling you, really doing a great job for the nation. Just want to hear something other than know the true and compromising word of God. Decide to say, hold on in there, and you definitely can realize that I have the prayers going up for you and your ministry. God bless you, and I'll be talking to you very soon. Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Brown, Willie Brown out of Georgia, from the Potter's Church of Christ. We just thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for you and that you are part of us and we are part of you. You know, because the Bible said, I in you and you in me. You know, so I'm part of you and you're part of me. So, you know, the Lord is doing a great work. We have to watch. You know, the Bible, you know, we say this. If you watch people long enough, listen to me, people of God. I'm not going to preach, even though I feel to preach, but if we watch people long enough in our house, in our home, in the church, on the job, you know their action will tell you exactly who they are. You know that? It will. If you watch them long enough, in your church over there in Mississippi, watch people. You want to watch people. You'll see they're special who they are. They act holy and all pious, and they're better than you, and they got more than you and all that kind of stuff. But watch them line up. Man, and they actually would tell you they're not really who they say they are. And, you know, and some things happened over the weekend, Baptist Campbell. Some things happened over the weekend, and now I got some information. Hey, man, some people that profess to be all that in a bag of chips, Pastor Larry, you saw us say that. Man, they ain't all that. Because they God true, my God. God is awesome. I just love God. That's all I can tell. I just love God. Because if you act a fool, God would expose you. Do you know that? God would expose you. He not going to forsake you, but he'll expose you because he wants you to get your foolishness straight. And I got some information on some folk that act foolish, professing to be better than this and better than that. God exposing the people like crazy. Exposing. I tell you, that's why I love exposing myself. You know what I'm saying? I love talking about David. Because if I talk about David, hey, I told him in the church, they said, why you got that? I said, because I stay naked. You can't run off and say, Apostle do this, Apostle do that. Because guess what? I'm already naked. I tell you what I used to be. I'm not that person no more. I'm not that person anymore. Listen to me. I'm not that person. I tell you who I used to be. If you want to go and make a ballot and put it over the highway that everybody can see, that's fine. That's your spending your money. But I'm free. I am totally free. God knows I'm free. Listen. I am free. Don't let nobody put you back in bondage. I'm telling you this, people of God. Look, don't let anyone put you back in bondage. God free you, stay free. Don't let nobody come and run no sweet talk on you, Apostle, Pastor, Evangelist, Christina, Kia, Keisha, whoever. Don't let anyone run no soft talk on you. Look, people, the sweet talk. But listen, you better take a look at them for them and see who they really are for real. You hear what I'm telling you? Because the time that we are in, the people that's part of this line, I have a great respect, great honor for you all that are part of this line and for what God is doing in your life. Respect the gifting that God has given to you. You haven't paid anything for it. Nobody give it to you. Nobody transfer it to you. God gives it to you, the gift that you have. Guard it. Listen to me. Guard it with everything that's inside of you. Don't let nobody street talk your gift. And hallelujah. The Bible says it this way. Don't let anyone cause you to lose your crown.
Amen. Amen.
With stupid stuff. Listen to me. Guard your crown. This is what Jesus says in the book of Revelation. Don't let no one talk you. Hold on to the faith that you were taught. Hold on to it. Listen to me, people. Because folks come and tell that they're a doctor this and they're a doctor that. Well, I got some degrees inside there. That don't make nothing. No different. If you're not, oh, Jesus, oh, my Lord Jesus, if you're not living according to the degrees, the degrees don't mean nothing. Did you hear what I'm saying? You can have 40 degrees. If you're not living according to the degrees, you say you are apostle, you are this, you are that. If you're not living according to it, guess what? It is useless, senseless.
That's right.
You're like
that's
a fool.
Right.
You're like a fool.
That's right.
God is placing anointing on us, every one of us. Live according to that anointing. I don't know why God's taking us this way, but live according to the anointing that's on your life. Because it's like a plant. The anointing on your life is like a plant. We are in springtime now. And guess what you do? You water your plant so that when summer gets here, your plant is going to be blooming full. Nice. Look real nice in front of your house. But it's the same thing with your anointing that's on your life. You have to protect it. How do you protect it? You protect it with the word of God, and you water it with the word of God. The anointing.
Yes. That's right.
Guess what? Because you want that anointing to grow. Don't you know the anointing grows? The anointing grows just like a plant, just like a tree, just like the grass in front of your house. The anointing grows. The more you water, the stronger it becomes. The stronger
right.
it becomes. The more authority it has, the anointing that's in your life.
Right.
And this is what God is calling for us. That's why we have to tap into the glory. We have to tap into the glory because the more you tap into the glory, my God, the more the glory is going to begin to be seen.
Amen. Amen.
It's going to begin to be seen on you. I tell the Lord, yeah, I was praying, I said, Lord, you know I don't have this, and you know I don't have that. I was telling him, because I talk to God like this. I don't talk, oh, thou God, thou most high God. I talk to God just like I'm speaking right now. I said, God, you know I don't have this, and I don't have that. I thank you for what I have, though. I thank you for what I have. And I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, all I want to do is experience the supernatural glory. I want to experience the very glory that you put on the apostles. The very glory. I told the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, you're almost ready. He said, he said, you're almost ready to receive it in that form. That Lord told me. He said, son, you're almost ready to receive it. In that fashion. And Lord said, he said, remain humble. He said, remain humble. And I started weeping. I said, thank you, Father. Remain humble. You know, they told me, don't talk to the kids. Don't talk to the kids. Don't mess with this. Don't do that. But how are the kids going to know what you have if you don't talk to the kids? You're going to act like you're an apostle, you're a bishop, you're a deacon, you're a deaconess, you're or whatever title you have, and you act like you're standing up on a pedestal, and you can't even reach, don't touch somebody down there. I said,
that's
not me. I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. How the kids gonna know who Jesus is if you don't impregnate them with the same power that's inside of you? If you don't train them up and tell them how to live right, but you pass them on, we can't talk to the kids because we are apostles, we are bishops, we are lay people. Awesome. Those are just kids. Those are just kids. And you walk around them with your chest stuck up in the ear. But you got it all together. Oh, I can't speak to those kids. They're just 13 years old. But if you know the order of your election, if you know the order of your election, you will know how to guard your election. And guess what happens? You are not going to be carried away by a lustful feeling and attack those kids and molest those kids. Guess what? You're going to look at those kids like you are a mother to those kids. You are a father to those kids. And you're going to give them what God has given you so those kids can live right. But what happened? We got too many slimy people up in the churches.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? We have too many slimy people up in the church that call themselves ministers of the gospel, and they're sleeping with a little boy, and they're sleeping with a little girl. You got men sleeping with boys, and women sleeping with little girls, and all vice versa. It's going on up in the church. God, right, they don't reverence, listen to me, people of God, this is God speaking to us. They don't reverence the anointing that's in their life.
That's right.
They don't reverence it. In other words, they don't have any respect for the glory.
That's right. That's right.
I know it's right. I know it's right, but it's right. Listen to me. They don't reverence. Why should a bishop be charged for raping a little boy if he reverenced the anointing? Mm. You saw this happen a couple of years ago with Bishop Long over there in Georgia. Big bishop with 25,000 members, and then he's going to be charged for sodomizing some kid. And got a beautiful wife, gorgeous wife. Why? Because he does not reverence the anointing. The anointing to him is just a bread winner. It brings in the money. That's what the anointing is known to these preachers are. It brings in the money. People say, I'm going over here because so-and-so preach. They can preach, they can sing, they can do all this stuff, and their music is real good. They give their money. But what? Jeremiah says they live off the fat of the people. They cause the people to err because they're not preaching and teaching our truth. It's in the Word.
It's in
if you
the
don't
word.
Me, go read the book of Jeremiah. It's right there. If you don't read the book of Ezekiel, it's in the Word. They're living off the fat of the people. And you and me that are going to preach and teach the gospel, they don't want to sow seed into what we're doing for God. They said no, because they all up in our kitchen, they're in our bedroom. We're not going to sow into that ministry. We're not going to help them. We're not going to help them build a church. Because why? They're talking about us fornicating. We can't fornicate no more. We can't drink and drug no more because they condemn that. But the Bible says that every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. He didn't say Jesus was going to condemn.
Right.
He said you shall condemn.
That's
but
right.
They said you condemn them for what they're doing, you are judgmental. But the Bible says you should judge.
That's
even
right.
The angels. That's what the Bible
right.
says. But
that's
they're
right.
saying to you, because what? You're not studying your Bible, and they put you in a place where you go back and, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that because, no, I'm a judge.
That's fine.
Read the Bible. Read the Bible. This is how we help one another. This is how we help one another. But why am I going to let you die in sin? I don't tell you that you're sinning. Because I'm afraid you're going to say, I'm a judge. I'm judging you. And the Lord says that I am required to tell you the truth. He says,
right.
I'm required. That's why he said, let the strong bear the infirmity of the weak. He's not talking about sickness. He's talking about the one that is weak in sin.
That's right.
He's not talking about you having influenza or you having pneumonia or some kind of sickness. He's talking about you have cancer in your body or you asthmatic. He's talking about the one that is weak in sin.
That's right.
That's what he's talking about. So you have overcome all of this stuff. You need to tell your brother and sister, come on, let me just love on you. Come on, sister, brother, let me just love on you. I want to tell you that Jesus died on the cross for all the things that you're dealing with right now. And if you would just call upon him, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
That's right.
That is the word of God. But it says, if you tell him, you're judging them. You're judging them. No, you tell him the word of God. I understand you're dealing with stuff. I dealt with all that stuff before. But the same God that delivered me, he is faithful. And he'll do for you what he did for me.
That's right.
I pray with you? Can I pray with you? And that's what you do. Because prayer will go with money. No man can go. And you pray with that person. And guess what? Pray the word of God. Don't pray what you feel. Don't pray according to your feelings, but pray according to God's word. And when that person leaves your presence, whipping and driving down the highway, they're walking down the road, riding a motorcycle or bicycle, all they can hear is the word of God. Because the Holy Spirit will connect to that word, because he's connected to that word, not to your word, but he's connecting to God's word. And he's going to bring to remembrance to that person everything that you have prayed over them. And then, even when they feel like they want to slip back in the same dark space and commit that same ugly, stinking sin, guess what's going to be present? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit going to be there telling them what you just took care for them. You don't need to do that anymore. I'm here with you. Holy Spirit going to come. Because that's what Jesus says. He said, everything that I told you, when the Holy Spirit come, he said, he'll bring back to your remembrance.
That's what he said.
Jesus told us not to sin anymore. He said, go, look, I set you free. Go and sin no more. And the Holy Spirit will come and bring it back to your memory that Jesus has set you free. He died on the cross for you. He rose up from the dead, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, even making intercession for us right now. And he tell you, go and sin no more. He's going to bring it back to your remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bring it back to your remembrance. The same Jesus that died at Calvary.
All right, now.
But what happens? We don't want to tell nobody. You say, that's their business. If they don't know no better, it's up to them. Well, my friend, I got news for you all. My Bible told me, the one that you got underneath your arm, the one you got on your coffee table, the one you got on your nightstand, is the very same Bible that said, elect those that are strong, will you infirmity of the weak. And if you are professing, oh my God, I'm talking to all of us, if we are professing that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we ought to be willing and able to tell somebody that Jesus loved them and that he is willing to forgive them of their sin.
That's right.
Don't look down on them unless you're willing to pull them up. We look down on people, but we're never really willing and ready to pull our hands together. Look. This is not talking about a physical hand most of the time. It's talking about a spiritual hand.
Mm.
A spiritual hand. Reach out and speak a word of life into somebody's life. Speak a word of life into them.
Mm.
I say, okay, me and my children, we got it together. I don't have to worry about them. So. My daughter's in the hospital with an aneurysm in her brain. She's going to have brain surgery either this week or next week. Listen to me. Holy Spirit, the devil comes in a voice and tells me, don't go to church. Don't pray for nobody. You ought to go to the hospital. My daughter's been in the hospital almost a week. I haven't been to the hospital one day, Pastor, because I was about my father's business. That's God's business over there. He got to take care of my daughter.
Amen.
I'm taking care of his. Oh, I said, well, you're, I ain't even my pastor, his wife just had brain surgery. I ain't never got to get to the hospital because I'm doing my father's business. I can't heal her. I'm praying over here for her. God's going to do what only he can do. He is the whole Rapper. He's the God that healeth. But you know, Christian, he didn't even go to the hospital and look for his daughter. But she know I love her. I said a word for her every day. I send one spiritual and I send one verbal. Send one by my wife and I send one in the spirit. Why did I do what God said? My wife is at the hospital right now. She was there all day yesterday with my granddaughter. But I was in church teaching the word of God. I was there teaching the word of God.
Mm.
Then I had to pray and listen to the people of God. God's going to do what only God can do. You got to do what only you can do. You have to do the ministry. God called you to be his mouthpiece.
Right.
God called you to be his feet. God called you to be his eyes. God called us to be his eyes.
That's right.
He said the work that he did, we were to do an even greater work, a mightier work. Somebody said mightier work.
That's right.
That's what God says. So what we got to get on the mission field. Everybody wants to be in this big fancy church with big lights and nice podium and nice velour chairs, and nobody wants to go in the field. And guess what happens? The people that are in there, listen to me. The people that God is reaching for is in the field. They're hungry and thirsty, but they're not coming into the house because there's too much junk in the house.
God, Jesus, that's right.
They're not coming into the church building because there's too much junk in the church building. Every time they go on CNN, NBC or CBS, they can hear some preacher falling by the wayside. They say, well, I don't need to go in there to fall by the wayside. I'm doing a very good job over here falling. Keep going to church, they're preaching these messages that make you want to dance like you're in a nightclub. No substance. No conviction. Every time people leave the church, they say, look, then they go to God's house, they should be saying, Lord, forgive me. For I have sinned against you, and you only have I committed this sin. Lord, help me to live in a way that pleases you. Every time they come into church, something there should be some conviction that take over their life. But no, we want to preach them happy, because we don't want to say, well, I'm not going back there to give off to the Christ. I know that my God, people of God, that's the oldest line. We reaching thousands of people for God. We got people over there in France, in Italy, that cannot. I got a word this morning. God from that was coming from Ghana. Yeah, they're coming from Ghana this morning. Look, they can't wait for we to post the message, to send the message to them. I don't give them chance to go. Have to go full through Facebook. I send them straight to their page. And so again, they send me back. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you for the message. Because why? It makes their day. They're getting the word 7 days a week, 6 days a week from us. And if they go to church on Sunday, they get the word the seventh day. But they get the word from us 6 days. Why? Because this is our commission, to release the word. The Bible says that every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow, that he's Lord to the glory of God. And when we don't, we are sending the word. Evangelist comes on. When she gets a chance to do the prayer of salvation, we send the word. And even if they backslide, they got a chance to repent again and come back and get back in line. The Bible says the just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. So we give him a chance every morning that if they fall yesterday, last night, they can get back up and go back before God and ask their forgiveness. We're not giving them a license to keep sinning, but we're telling them that if they fall, they can get back up. Jesus told Peter that if your brother sins 70 times 7, you got to forgive him. All Jesus tried to tell him is that as many times as your brother or sister sin, you got to forgive him. But you say, no, they did it to me last week. Now this week they come and do it again. I can't forgive them. And if I forgive them, I'm not going to forget. Well, you will never forgive them. You say, I'll forgive them this time, but I'm not going to forget what they did to me. Well, you ain't forgive them. Because when you forgive them, you got to forget. You have to forget. You remember to sin no more. Because guess what? If you don't forget, guess what happens? You still in bondage. And if you don't forget that person that forgive and forget that person that what they did to you, guess what? You're still in bondage. They may be free and you'll be still in bondage. And we find that too many Christians today are in bondage with lack of unforgiveness, unforgiving spirit. They say, yeah, I forgive her what she said about me, what she did to me. But the rightest thing that happened to her, I know she was going to do it again. I know he was going to do it again. That's why I forgive him, but I didn't forget. Cause I know him. I know her spirit. I know her spirit. You're not even giving them a chance to change. You're not even giving them a chance to grow. You see, forget. If God did the same thing to us, guess where we would be? The Bible said that he forgave us and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east from the west. He said he remember our sin no more. No more. He deals with what we do when he deals with whatever we are dealing with every day from day to day. But what we did with last year, last month, he forgets. He tries to see a forgetfulness. He don't remember them anymore. But we said, oh, Lord, as sister said, I was this and I was that. That brother said, I was this. I'll forgive him this time because I'm a Christian, but I sure ain't going to forget. You ain't forgive that man. Don't forgive that woman. You're just fooling yourself. You can't even go ahead. You can't even go ahead because we keep remembering what that person said about us did to us. The only way you should remember that is if you would have somebody to see how you let go and you have somebody to get through. That's the only way you should go back there. We did the message the other day. The tomb was empty. He found his spouses just there. The only way you go back to the tomb is you're going back to the tomb for testimony. That's the only way. When you go back to where you forgive somebody or somebody forgive you, the only reason you're going back there for a testimony for what God has freed you from, or freed that person from, allow you to let go and let God. Then you're not going back and looking in the tomb to take out a dining room, set up a dining room table and start to eat food. No, you're just looking in there for testimony. You just go back in your past life for testimony. You're not going back there, oh God, I used to sleep with all these women and start trying to sign, sleep with all these men. Stop trying to say, no, you're just going back for testimony for what God, the great God in heaven and earth, has did for us, deliver, how he set us free. Who he is? Who is this person? Who is this? The one that delivered us, that set us free. That's the reason why we go back. I mean, oh, man, that man treated me so bad. He misused me, abused me. My God hurt my body, hurt my children, hurt my... He did everything wrong to me. I thought she loved me. Why are you lamenting on that stuff? Forget it. Keep on. Move on. Get a new wife. Get a new husband. They're gone. God wants to set you up with a new husband. And you fool the wrong way about some man that cheat you wrong 10 years ago, 15 years ago. God wants to give you a new wife, but you're wearing what some woman did to you 15, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Man, forget about it. She's gone. Now God is bringing a new woman into your life, a new wife, a new husband. My God, accept the gift that God has given to us, okay? We're going to start from scratch, but with God's help, we'll get to where we need to be. Don't look at that. I don't want her because she don't got a lot of money. She's not rich. I don't want him because he can't help me. No, no, no. No, no. If it's God, it'll come to pass. If it's not God, it'll be nothing. It'll be nothing. Just say, no, okay, God. All the past is gone. I'm going to take up the new that you're giving to me now, and I'm going to work with it. Yes, Lord, I'm going to propose that. I'm going to accept the proposal from my man. Yes, my husband. Lord, if he's not right, God, show me before I get into this thing. Show me before I get into this thing. If she's not right, God, show me. And guess what God's going to do? Because you ask, you shall receive. Because you seek, you shall find. And because you're knocking at God's door, guess what happens? It goes open to you. But what happened? We want to do. Listen. We want to go and do things behind God's back like God can't see. And then when it falls apart, we want to say, God, will you let me get to this? No, seek him first. Seek God first. Seek his kingdom, his righteousness. And all other things we added. We want to put the cart before the horse. The cart got to be in front. You don't put the cart in front of the horse behind. You got to seek God first. Let God lead us and guide us. Be willing to forgive and forget. This is the God that we... Who is this God? He's the God of forgiveness. He's the God of righteousness. And if we are serving the same God, we ought to be full of forgiveness. We ought to be full of righteousness. We ought to be full of holiness. It's a gift. You can't work for holiness. Holiness is a gift that comes from God. Don't you know that? Righteousness is a gift that only comes through Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
It only comes through him. That's why we say that we are in right standing through Christ Jesus. We cannot go before the throne of glory without Christ Jesus. He is the doorway to the throne of glory. But a lot of us want to go without going through Jesus. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We got to allow Jesus to lead us and guide us every day to the throne of glory.
Every day. That's right.
Every day. My daughter's going to be okay. As a matter of fact, she's okay. She's okay. She got an aneurysm behind her left eye. And God is working it out. I told God, it's in your hand. I said, God, it's in your hand. We've got about 40, 50 people praying for her right now. That I know. About 50 people. I said, God, it's in your hand. I said, I'm not worried about it. I said, God, because life is in your hand. There's no better place it can be but in your hand. I said, you're going to guide the doctors, the surgeons' hands to do what they need to do. Guess what? The only reason they're just trying to see if there's a medicine, they have to give her some medication, some blood thinner they want to give her, because they're going to have to put a stent inside the say the artery that's weak, so the blood can flow freely to that artery. And they got to put her on a medication after they realize that the check into there and see if that she can, her liver, because, you know, God gave her a new liver. But they're still looking at the liver to see if the liver can withstand this new medication, because the medication has aspirin in it, a blood thinner. And if her liver can take it, then she's going to come home today. She'll come home today, and then she'll go back Friday for surgery. But God is just awesome. You see, because I said, Lord, I put it in your head. I said, Lord, I put my daughter Amy in your head. God, and I said, God, there's no better place I'd rather her to be than in your hand. So whatever it's going to be, it's going to be your will. I said, Lord, it's going to be your will. Because I said, Lord, did I thank you? See, because I know how to put her in his hands. I know Jesus. I ain't got to run around and say, well, how you not sulking and crying and weeping? I said, wait, for what? My daughter had the church. She said, well, Pastor, we so sorry. So you ain't got to be sorry. I appreciate you. I appreciate your sympathy. My God's saying, my God is chief surgeon. My God is chief doctor.
All right.
My God is chief lawyer. So I'm not worried. Listen to me. I'm not worried. When my son was facing 5 to 15 years, for having a gun in the car and having cocaine in the car and marijuana in the car, we stopped to pray. And they said, that's my only son. I got one son and three daughters. And we begin to pray. I said, okay, what's God going to move? Why? Because I'm about God's business. And then God spoke to me, and I started crying. I said, is that Pastor what's wrong? I said, God just spoke to me. I'm in the church building. And I started crying. I stopped to pray. I started crying. They said, what's wrong? I said, God just spoke to me. He said, your son had just the time served. And my son met a pastor back in Washington, D.C. that I knew. He led my son in the prayer of salvation while he was locked up in detention center. He never went to penitentiary. He was in detention center in D.C.
Yes,
and then in the case, they keep pulling back. We drove down there and went into the courtroom. They wouldn't ask for the case was put back. And we had to drive all the way back. All of them were 5, 8 hours to drive, and 16 hours total drive. We drive back and forth, and then when the kids did here, they say that the judge decided to give him this time served. With 10 months, he was in detention center, and put him on probation, and he just finished his probation. Got job, got real job now. Don't have to be on the street peddling nothing, and got real job. Got 2 BMWs. You just signed for a BMW loan for BMW from. The old BMW, he fixed up the stuff. God will do that when you trust God with all your heart. How many of us have trust God and said today, I trust God in this part of my life. I don't have a husband. I don't have a wife. I don't have a job. I don't have a home. How many of us will trust God totally for healing? How many of us will really truly trust God to heal our eyes? How many of us will trust God to heal our ear gate? How many of us will trust God to heal our heart? How many of us will trust God to heal our lungs? How many of us will trust God to heal our liver, our pancreas? How many of us we say, but we don't really trust him? Why? Because if you trust him, you will have manifestation. The Bible said trust him. There's a reason why the Bible said trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him and direct your path. There's a reason why God says trust him with all your heart, because some people don't trust him with half their heart, not even half their heart. In the church, preaching the gospel, instead of they trust God, as soon as something happened, oh my God, they're crying out. Oh my God, he brought this back there. Evangelist Campbell, Pastor Smith, Sister Christina, they're crying out. As soon as something happened, they're crying, okay. Oh, my God, you should be rejoiced, because the blood of the Lord should be your strength. And you know, in the midst of the storm, he's still God. In the midst of the pain, he's still God. In the midst of the trial in the courtroom, he's still the lawyer. But no, I don't know what I'm going to do. My son is acting a fool. My daughter going through this. My wife acting this. My husband acting this. We start complaining. The devil can't do nothing but put you deeper into the mud. That's all the devil can do. So when you complain against us, we agree with the devil. Oh, I'm so sick. I don't feel good. I don't know what I'm going to do. My body just don't feel good. I don't have the money to go to the doctor. Oh, you got the doctor right there in your room. He's standing right there. All you have to do is call on him. The doctor's standing right in the room, by the way. You restart complaining. Oh, my God. I got to call Pastor Brown. I got to let Pastor Brown know. I feel so bad. Let me call Evangelist Campbell. I feel so bad. Oh, let me call Sister Christine. I don't know what I can do. Maybe she can help me. She can give me a ride to the place. Oh, let's go. We go to Sister Jesus. Lord Jesus, my body just don't feel right today, but God, I'm coming to you because I know that you are Jehovah Rapha. Oh, God, you have never lost a kick. You're always in the bedroom. Lord, you come in there when I'm feeling bad. You come in there when I'm feeling good. But God, even as you're a woman with an issue of blood testing and touch you after she spent all her money, God, I'm pressing it and I just want to touch you, Lord. Lord, just let me touch you. God, just let me touch the hem of your garment. God, just let me touch you. I may not be able to touch your hand because I still got some stuff going on with me. But God, let me just touch the hem of your garment. And listen, when you talk to faith, thank God, and glorify God, guess what happened? God released the anointing of his garment. Virtue comes from God, comes out of his garment and begin to heal you and begin to deliver you. You see, you because right. You got to get to that place that you have a repentant heart. You say, God, I know I might not be able to touch your hand. I might not be able to touch your feet. Yes, I might not be able to touch your head because I still got some stuff going on in my life. That's repentance. David said, God, create me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Yes. He said, God, I have sin against you, and against you only have I sinned. In Psalm 51, you see, you got the right to judge me. Told the Lord, you got the right to judge me. Anywhere you feed to. Listen to me, people, God. We got to come to God and be real because God is real. There's no fakeness about God. God is real, and he knows all things. He sees all things. But what happened is you want to go to God, and God don't know what's going on in your life. God knows what I'm doing. He knows what I've done. He knows who I am. He knows what I will do. My God, the Bible says he knows the end before the beginning. Glory to God. So we got to go to God. You know, God, all that I've been through, all I've gone through. God, you know my cost. You know my cost, God. But God, I know you're still a healer. I know that you're a forgiver. Ah, God, the Bible says that you're a reward of those that diligently seek you. And God, I'm seeking you with all that's inside of me. I know you touch everything, oh God, right now. I need healing in my life. Lord, I need healing in my family's life. I need my children healed. I need my grandchildren delivered. Oh, my God, I need you to touch my wife. I need you to touch my husband. My God, I need you to touch my sister, my brother. You begin to talk to God. What happened? God said, son, God, I've been here ever since. All I need for you to do is to call me. He said, all I was doing was waiting for you to call upon me.
All right now. All right.
He said, I've been waiting here all this time just for you to call me. And the moment you call me, guess what happened? He says, I shows up. He says, I let you know I'm here. I'm here. What happened with Peter in the water? Peter got in the water, started to walk on the water. And the moment he took his eyes off the deacon and began to watch the air, the elements, he began to sing. But when he called to Jesus, what did Jesus do? Jesus reached out his hand and took Peter. He said, I'm here. I'm here. That's what Jesus is saying this morning. This is the way of God. Who is this? He's Jesus. This is Jesus. He's here. And all he wants us to do is to just reach up our hand and hold his hand because he's reaching down. He's reaching down. But you know what happened? We're looking at everything. We're looking at the air. We're looking at the water. We're looking at the sun. We're looking at the earth. But we're not looking at the hand of Jesus.
Oh, my God.
That wants to put us out of the mess that we're in.
That's right.
We're ready to start a wrong and die in the mess that we're in instead of reaching up our hand and holding on to God's hand.
Talk about it. So,
the only time we want to reach up our hand to God's hand is if we're asking God for something, we're hoping God will put something in our hand. But we don't want to reach up for God to put us out of the mess and the muddy clear that we're in. You walk around and find a kid and commit adultery and lie and cheat and cuss out people. Like God don't know. God said, I want to pull you over that cussing. I want to pull you over that lying. I want to pull you over that backbiting. I want to pull you over that cheating. That conniving spirit that you got. That jealousy spirit you got. God said, I want to pull you out of it. Reach my hand, I'll pull you over that neck.
That's right. That's
but we'll walk around, have the priest call on, have the robes on, and we'll look holy and look tight. And the Bible says our hearts is like a sepulcher. Our hearts.
Mm.
We look holy on the outside, but inside we are like a grave. We're like a grave, like a tomb.
Mm.
God said, just reach up and grab my hand, and I'll pull you over that tomb. I'll pull you over that sepulcher.
Mm.
That's who he is. He's the one that's willing to forgive us in out of our mess. In the midst of our mess, he's willing to forgive us. That's the God we serve. He's
right.
The God that is willing and able to heal us if we would just go to him for healing. I believe. He says, they that are willing and obedient to eat the fruit thereof, of the land, the good of the land. Wow. So if I am willing and obedient, I believe in who Jesus said he is. He ain't going to come to my family. He ain't going to come to my friends. He ain't going to come to the church. Because guess what? Pastor, bro, Evangelist, Christina, Smith, Campbell, Baxter, Marcella, all you all, wherever you go, deliverance is with you. Listen to me. Wherever you go, healing is with you. Even if you want to believe it or not, it's with you.
Amen.
Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords walks beside you.
Amen. Amen.
And there's times, listen to me, and there's times that he's not going to be beside you, but he's going to be in the front of you, leading you. Because there's times that the path that you're walking is going to become dangerous. There's times that you're going to be walking or driving that the path is going to become dangerous. And what he's going to do, he's going to move from next to you and go in front of you to protect you.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Man, I just preach and give you so much from the Lord. Father, I thank you for all that you have given us. I just give you so much that the Lord just gave to me. I didn't even know I was going to do all that. Tell you the God's truth. But the Lord is omnipotent. And never know what he's going to do or how he's going to do it. Because his understanding surpasses all understanding. He's higher than us. All we have to do is be willing to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm tapping into a message. I'm tapping into a message. Accessing the glory. Accessing the glory. Accessing the glory. Accessing the glory is what I'm going to teach about. I want to teach about accessing the glory tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to teach tomorrow accessing the glory. Then Wednesday, Evangelist Baxter going to come on. Thursday, Pastor Brown is going to, no, Pastor Smith is going to come in on Thursday. And Friday we got to see, I don't know if that's Pastor Brown, he has a lot of stuff going on. If he's not able to come on Friday, that would be Evangelist Campbell would come back on Friday again. But I believe God wants me to release this message that he gave me today while she was ministering. And I have to do what the Lord says. So we're going to be teaching on accessing the glory of God. And we're going to show you in the Bible how to access the glory. How to walk in the glory continuously. Even when the enemy is attacking you, how to walk in the glory. How to drive in the glory. How to live in the glory. I could show you in the Bible where God removed his glory from a lot of people. Different leaders in the Bible. That he removed his glory. But we don't want him to remove the glory. We want him to reveal more and more of his glory on us. So we can fulfill the calling on this vacation. Okay? We want to do that. I don't know if anyone has a word they want to share. If you need to pray, we'll have the evangelist, one of the evangelists, to come back on and pray for you. And I want to tell you something. I can't tell you the whole story, though. But the Lord just released some supernatural blessings for Evangelist Baxter. Supernatural. Too big for her to even talk about. It's very big, very big. And she told me, she called me this morning, she said, Apostle, I'm going to tell the church when the Lord released me to tell them. She says to me, she says, you are a man of God. and what you prophesied over me, my granddaughter, my daughter, it's all come to pass. And she said, and faster than I thought would come true. I said, well, that was God's timing. I wouldn't my timing. It was God's timing, because you can prophesy the word. When God prophesied to Noah, tell Noah that he was going to rain on the land, he was going to flood the land, he didn't tell Noah when the rain was going to come, when the flood was going to come. That was a prophetic word that he spoke to Noah. You know that? It was a prophetic word. Because Noah had never seen no rain. Nobody had ever seen rain before. But God prophesied that he was going to flood the land. He was going to destroy the land with water. And Noah kept on building and building and building. He never knew. But God didn't give him no date. He just said, look, I'm going to flood the earth. I'm going to destroy these people because these people are wicked. How you think it is that God, Supreme God, released a prophetic word into his servant, and his servant is building for 120 years, and yet there's no water? Noah is a laughing stock to the people. And we have people today, if you prophesy a word to them and it don't come together in 2 weeks, a week, like yesterday, they say, well, she not a prophetess. She not a prophet of God. He not a prophet of God. He's a fake. Because they want it. We live in a microwave age where anybody want it, and they want it right now. No, we go to McDonald's, I want my burger right now. We're taking the burger so long. Well, it's the same way. We treat God the same way. And God speaks to his servants, to us, and we say, why is she saying we're going to have a new car? And I'm going to get a job, but I didn't get the job yet. But sometimes God does not release the job to us right away because we're not ready to receive the job.
That's right. That's right.
You go to the job and act a fool. You don't want to follow orders. You don't want to be obedient to the supervisor. You don't get to work. You're not going to get to work on time because you like to sleep late. And God said, when you start getting up early in the morning, guess what? I'll give you a job. Because, I mean, you'll get to work early. And then we don't realize that there's a lot of things that hinder God from releasing the blessing right away. Because we're not obedient. We're not willing. And a lot of times, we're not available for God. We find a lot of different excuses. We find excuses why we can't serve God, why we can't do what God wants. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, like the ones in the book, when he had the party, the banquet, everybody had an excuse. All the people that he invited to the banquet had an excuse. This is the church. They got an excuse. I got to go take care of the land that I just bought.
Yes,
or I got to go and bang my family. We got an excuse. And God said, I can't really use you. I can't use you to the latitude or altitude that I really want to use you. Because you're full of excuse. God said, when you get rid of my excuse, I'm going to pour my glory on you. And when my glory come on you, everybody going to know who you are there.
Amen.
This is what it's all about. Now, you know why? Not boasting, because I ain't got there yet. To be honest with you, I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there because I'm pressing. I'm just like Paul. I'm pressing to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing.
Yes.
I ain't got there yet. But you know why God is releasing his glory on us? Not just me, but us. You know why? Because we're pressing. When you press, in spite of what you're dealing with, God appreciates that. God honors that. That in the midst of your trials and tribulations, that you're still seeking him. God honors that. God honors that. When you have a heart of repentance, God honors that. That you don't think that you're all that in a bag of chips, God honors that.
Amen.
This is what it's all about. When you say, Apostle, I sit back as a servant of God, and I say, I'm not going to teach for a whole week. I'm not going to preach a word. I put my 2 cents in out. Today God is using me here, and I don't know why. But he saw fit to use me today to say a word out to the woman of God, preach the gospel. And her word is an awesome word. What's an awesome word? Who is this with a powerful word? And she went a lot of places in God's word, showing us who is this. But God is saying to us, get to that place where we totally trust him. Don't ever get tired. Don't ever get tired of going on your knees.
Amen.
Don't ever get tired of going on your knees before God. Because what you're showing God, not only just humility, but you're showing God, the more you go on your knees, the more you're showing God that you're reverencing.
Yes, God.
That you're not even worthy to stand up before him, so you bow before him.
Mm.
That's what it's all about. And God will reveal himself to you. God will open doors for you. I'm telling you that when Evangelist Baxter shared what she God gave her that she wants to share on the library she feeds, and God revealed her, it's gonna blow your mind. It's gonna blow your mind.
Amen.
I mean, it's gonna blow your mind. Cause when she told me, I said, "Well, praise God." You know, cause one thing with me and two things with serving with me, I don't care. When I say I don't care, that's just a jealous way of speaking. But no matter what God bless you with, I'll never be jealous over you. I'm happy because he is my father too. I'm not going to be like the prodigal son. Going to be jealous of your brother. You living in the house where every all the gold and all the silver and all the jewelry and all the fine clothes and all the fine food, and you still jealous of your brother when your brother just come on a pigsty. Just come on a pigsty, your father decides to wash him up and clean him up and give him a robe and give him a ring and put some shoes on his feet and make a banquet for him. You're going to be jealous when you're in the same house. Why am I going to be jealous over you when you're my Christian brother? Why am I going to be jealous over you when you're my Christian sister? And we got the same daddy. Why am I going jealous? And he bless you. No, that means he get away to bless me. Mine may be on the way. He may already force mine to me. Angel may be already on rope bringing mine. But this is what we do in the house of God. Sit together, a Mercedes-Benz or get a Lexus. We are going on sign. What's she doing now? I don't think she make that much money that she can afford a Lexus or Mercedes. We start saying, analyze why God bless that your sister. We start finding any way to be in agreement with the devil. When God said he will bless you coming and bless you going. When he said he'll make you the head and not the tail, he'll set you above and not beneath. So we said, God, I thank you so much that you blessed Sister Christina with a new home. I thank you so much that you blessed her with a new car. I thank the Lord. You know, start blessing God and praising God for blessing your brothers and sisters. And guess what? Your blessing will come faster than you were looking to receive them.
Mm.
We don't do that in the church. Too much jealousy. And that spirit don't come from God.
Mm.
Yes, he said he's a jealous. Yes, he said he's a jealous God, but he's only jealous. He's only jealous when we decide that we want to worship Shabbat instead of him. That's when he becomes jealous. When we worship something different to him.
That's right.
But if you worship God, God is not jealous. He's jealous when you worship something different to him. But we get jealous when our brothers and sisters get a blessing, not me. I thank God for all you all today. I'm going to ask one of the evangelists, one of you all, to come on and pray for the line, pray for the people on the line. A lot of people on the line. They don't say it, but we thank God that they hear the word of God. And tomorrow, if you don't have time, you can come on and support me and, you know, say hallelujah or amen or praise the Lord, whatever the Lord lay on your spirit. Pray or something, do something. But I'm going to teach a word tomorrow of accessing the glory of God. That's what we're going to teach on tomorrow. And then the rest of the preachers going to come on this week. Yes, ma'am.
Before someone comes on and calls and pray and close, I just want to give a testimony about the Esmeralda Dixon, the lady that we were praying for.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That came down to meet with me. We had to leave the line. Well, when she came down, she did come down and she did talk with us. And when she left before, it wasn't even 20 minutes, maybe not even 10. So I'll give between 10 and 15 minutes that she called back and said that she got a report from the doctor. And the doctor had called.
Mm-hmm.
The lymph nodes were healed, her cancer was gone, but the mass was still there. So she got to go to the Wednesday about the mass, you know. I told her that we were praying for her, but she called right back because before she left the meeting, I told her that we had to pray with her. I said, now my apostles and I'm praying for you now.
I said, but before you leave, I must touch and agree with you. And she did that. She let us pray with her, Trustee Pauline, Corey, and myself. We sat there and we prayed with her in the name of Jesus. And when she got to be here, because she was leaving, and she, I believe she may have been to the highway, and she called back. She said, I have got to tell you all that the doctor called. When I got there was a message, and I called the doctor, and there was no cancer. But the only thing is, she just has that mass. So we're going to pray for that mass in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, see, God is such an awesome God. He is awesome. He is awesome. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. God, we thank you, God, because you are high and lifted up. God, you are a healer, you are a deliverer, you are a restorer, God. A comforter, Lord Jesus, a shield, a buckler, a high tower, Jesus. And Father, we thank you, O God, for the report of the Lord that says it's well. Oh, my God, my God, my God, before the word could get out of our mouths, Lord God, you have returned a verdict, oh God, that is well, Jesus. And Father, I even praying right now that even as she go back, your daughter go back to the doctor on Wednesday, God, and the doctors begin to do a diagnostic check on her, God. Lord, let them look and see that the mass has become muscle. The mass has become real true tissue of her body, but not an infection, not something that would take her out of this world. God, I'm declaring now that whatever is was there is dead right now, God. I'm declaring right now. I'm declaring now, God, I'm sending the word in the atmosphere that whatever the litmus or whatever inside there, our God is dried up. God, God, in the name of Jesus, God, but it will be living tissue that, oh, my God, that's living according to her body, but not to take her out of this world. God, I declare now that it's happening, God. And Father, we'll be so careful, oh, God, that when the next report comes to give you glory, as always, oh, my God, give you praise, my God, and can lift up your name as healer, Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth, oh, God. God, you said you sent your word, and your word healed their disease and freed them from their destruction. God, we thank you right now, God. God, for what you're doing. God, we lift up Sister Christina right now, God. God, we speak over her lungs right now. God, I speak over her lungs, God. God, I lift up Frank Glenn. I speak over his lungs, God. I tell her, yes, Lord, I lift up Publish my son Smith. I speak over her lungs right now, God. God, every infirmity that's in her body, oh God, that is a train to attack their body, God, we come against it right now. And Father, we plead the blood of Jesus, the blood that heals, the blood that cleans, the blood that restores, the blood that transforms, my God. My God, the blood that eliminates sickness out of the body. God, we plead it right now. We plead it over their body. We come against the sickness in Keisha's body. And God, we declare that the chemotherapy they would stop giving her chemotherapy, God. They would stop it, God. There would be no reason for her to take chemotherapy anymore. God, we declare it right now as she goes to the doctor, God. When they do the diagnostic testing on her body, they would say, yes, Deaconess, we don't have to do any more chemotherapy. We are stopping right now after this week, God. We declare it right now, Father. We speak it in the atmosphere, God.
Yes, God.
God, I thank you for what you have done for my daughter. You are a marvelous God. God, you are majestic, God. God, you are such an awesome healer that no one compares to you. The greatest doctor in the world, the greatest scientist does not match up with you, Lord Jesus. God, you are higher than high, Jesus. Lord, that when high see you, it has to bow to you because you are higher than high, God. God, I thank you that you are wider than wide, God. God, you are deeper than deep, oh God. I thank you, Jesus, oh Lord God. I magnify your name, God. I glorify you, Jesus. I give you praise, Jesus, as you are. The one, Jesus. You are the higher lifted of God. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Yes.
Lord, you are Alpha and Omega. You are beginning and the end, God. You're the first and the last, Jesus. God, I thank you, God. God, for you reign forevermore, God. Your throne forever standing, glory, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. And Father, I thank you for every single person that come on this line. Oh, God, the pastors, the deaconess, the trustees, the lay people, oh, God. The evangelists, the prophets, oh, God. Oh, God, the teachers, God, the apostles, God. I thank you for the bishops, Lord. I thank you, God, for what you are doing, God, and what you're about to do, God. What you have already done, God, because you are mighty, God, Jesus. And God, your word declared that you begin a work unless you are completed, God. We know, God. God, we ask you to empower us with your glory, Jesus. Not for us to prophesy that we are this or that, God, but for us to declare and decree that you are. You are the maker of heaven and earth, God. You are, Jesus, the first and the last. That we'll lift your name up so high that demons will tremble when we speak, God. They'll tremble because we'll be speaking of you, Jesus. We'll not be speaking of ourselves, though, God, but we'll be speaking of you, Jesus. Father, I'm praying for Kenya right now. I'm praying for India. I'm praying for Italy, Lord. God, I'm praying for Brazil. Lord, I'm praying for God, I pray for, God, Liberia. I pray for Nigeria. I pray for Zambia, Lord God. I pray for the Caribbean. I pray for the United States of America. Lord, touch the president here, oh God. God, touch his mind, touch his heart, oh God. Oh my God, that all the things that they're doing that are contrary to your word, God. It doesn't care if he's a black person or a white person, God. God, touch his heart, God, that it would turn back to the word. It would turn back this country to the truth, Jesus. And God, I'm praying that your hand will rest upon this country and protect this country, oh God. From all the damnation that is coming against it, God, because I know your hand is turned. Lord, I'm praying, God, that you'll turn back to this country and save this country, Lord. Lord, save this country by touching your leaders. Oh God, touching your servants that you have ordained before the foundation of the world, that they begin to speak the truth, oh God. Yes, stop compromising your word, that this country can be saved, oh God, from the tornadoes, from the earthquakes, oh God. Oh my God, from the hurricanes, oh God, from the rod snakes and the copper snakes, oh, from the python snakes, oh God, that this country will be saved, Jesus. Oh God, the reptiles are going to run wild all over this country, oh God. My God, I'm asking you, oh God, to save this country, Lord, by saving your people, God. I pray today. I pray today, God, that you fill this woman of God. Lord, there's a freshness. I sense a freshness that is coming over you, darling Campbell. I sense a freshness of the Holy Spirit. I sense a freshness of the Holy Spirit is coming over your life right now. I said the Lord, my God, open the veil. And he said, daughter, come on in. I removed the veil. The Lord said, daughter, just step on in. Step on in. The veil is open for you to come in. The Lord said, I want you to experience my glory firsthand. The Lord said, I want you to experience my glory firsthand, my daughter. I will make crooked places straight for you. The Lord said, tell your daughter, I'll make rough places clean. He said, come on in. He said, trust me, daughter, trust me, because I'm about to do a great work in your life. The Lord said, this is for you this day, said the Lord. Come on in. Oh, my God, my God. The foot of the Lord is very high. He is high. He's above high. He's high above high, the Spirit of the Lord. I want to tell you tomorrow, I feel such a great move of the presence of the Lord on this life. If you're not doing anything, come on and listen to what God is saying to us. If you can't get on, go back and listen to the blog talk, you know, because I'm still going to teach it anyway. But God is going to do a great work. He's doing a great work in us and through us. I give you all the numbers to the seven words from the cross. Teach it in your church. Preach it in your church. We're going to preach it on the line. We all going to do it. Get a time of day that we all can come on a day, do as much as we can do, and then we'll do it the next day until we get the seven words through us, teaching and preaching as the Lord leads us. Don't try to, we know we have to have order because God like everything to be do in order, decent and in order. But when you come on the line, and I always say this, not to anybody individually, so don't run off the line and say that apostle is speaking to me. I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking in general. Allow the Lord to use you to his glory. Do not do not think that pastor is putting any limitations. I said the same thing to Minister Grace yesterday. Do not think that this servant is putting any limitations on your teaching, on your preaching. When you come on the line, you have, the time is there. The time is there. We have 2 hours that we can teach or preach. Well, we have 3 hours, but I let you teach at least an hour and a half and leave an hour and a half for the people to share so we can get some other people's voices recorded on the recorder. So don't ever limit yourself. That's all I'm saying. When you come, allow the Lord to use us to the extreme, to his extreme, okay, which is, you know, for us, you know, to go on and do whatever he wants us to do, okay? Don't limit yourself. And some people say, well, Apostle, I know Grace, Minister Grace, how long you want me to teach the part? I said, well, let the Holy Spirit lead you. We like to get about an hour and a half, somewhere like that. You know, I said, but for the people who are listening, got some good substance. They're not going to get just a 15 or 20 minute, and then they say, oh, my God, I wish they'd give me more. I wish he'd give me more than that. I wish he'd give me more than that. No, give them everything that God gave you. If it's in you, let it go. Let it go. Just I want you all to have that at your mindset. When you come, there's no limitation. This is God's life. Okay, it's God's life. And do whatever God says. Because to him, all the glory. Not apostle. Not this servant. To God be all the glory. We still got some time, so if anybody has a word that you want to say, or we can pray, one of you preachers pray and close the line, and we'll get over here. We'll see you all on tomorrow. Okay, somebody pray and close the line. Pastor Smith.
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, go ahead and pray and close the line for us, please.
Yes, yes, I will. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, hallowed be thy name, Lord, thy kingdom come. Yes. Father, we thank you now for all that you've done and all that you have allowed to be done on, said on this line today. God, we thank you for your blessings from heaven. We thank you for the bread of life, oh God. Oh God, but most of all, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for allowing him, oh God, that you sent him, God, that we may live and have life more abundantly. Oh God, we pray now that something have been said in your name, Jesus, that some dying man or woman will hear the word, oh God, and live again, oh God, because you are alive and well. And God, that the life will come back into them, and they will look to you this day forth. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, now we thank you. We thank you for our apostle calendar. We thank you for the ministry line, oh, God. We thank you for allowing him to be the watchman. And, oh, God, we be the sheep that he watches over, oh, God. And when he call us, we answer, oh, God, because you have sent him, oh, God. Oh, God, we thank you now. And, God, we ask now that you bless the sick and shutting it, oh, God. Bless those that are in bereavement, for they are many, oh, God. Bless those that are even behind the prison walls today, because some are there for the things they've done and some are there for the things that they did not do, oh, God. And, oh, God, we know that you said in your word that you reign on the just as well as the unjust. And, Father, we thank you right now. We just ask in this day, Father, that you continue to abide with each and every one of us in the name of Jesus, oh, God. And we will forever give you the praise, the honor, and the glory because you are worthy of them all. In Jesus' name now, we pray and we thank you. Lord, we just ask now, God, that your abundance continue to be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor. I love the Lord so much because the Lord speaks. We listen. The Lord just told me to speak to you right now, Pastor Smith. And the Lord said to tell you this. I know this, Lord, because I say, Lord, if you didn't say speak it to me as I was looking out the window, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak again. But I speak what you say, Lord. The Lord tell me to tell you to be vigilant, open your eyes. And this goes for you, evangelist too, Campbell. The Lord said to tell you all to open your eyes and pay strict attention to what's going on around the ministry. He says that the enemy is going to come to bring division. Listen to me. But the Lord says to tell you that, he says, I'm knitting you together. The Lord says, I'm knitting you together in the spirit realm. But in the natural realm, you have to pay attention, excuse me, you have to pay attention to the stuff that's going on around you. Okay? He said the spirits are going to come to bring division. Not God's spirit, the spirits that are here on the earth, that are working through men and women, going to come to bring division. You must see it before it happens and pray against it. Okay? That's what the Lord told me to say. And that's the word. Father, I thank you for all that you have said, all you have done. God, I ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. God, the blessings of Abraham, we speak over your people. God, make us the head. Continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, make us the lenders and not the boss. God, we are praying for blessings to come in. Even as folks say they're going to bless them, folks say they're going to send $200, and this one's going to send $300. And so, God, we are asking that the money come in, that we'll be able to travel to Africa to preach the prophetic word to set the captives free, God. God, we know that you are going to bless us because you said it. And if you said it, I believe it. That says it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I says it, and I believe it, God, and we shall receive it. God, we are asking you to continue to watch over every church that is represented here on this line, every family that's represented, the children, the grandchildren, our husband, the wives and husbands-to-be and wives-to-be. God, cover them, oh God. We ask your protection as we go in and go out, God. We're asking, God, blessings to come, oh God, to overtake us, so that we can be a blessing, oh God. God, we pray for the evangelist back to the Lord as she's at the funeral, and then she has to go to some folk house, Lord, to minister to them. Lord, I'm praying that you give her the right words to speak in those family members' life to comfort them in their time of loss, oh God. We are praying today for Pastor Brown, Lord, that you continue to send the finances that he needs to complete this church that you have given him to build. Lord, he wants to build this big auditorium for you, God, for your glory. And I know, God, that you will supply the needs. Father, even as we leave this line, but not your presence, Lord, we are praying that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell somebody today that God loves them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you share, that you release out of your spirit today, that will stop some man or woman from committing suicide, stop some man or woman from hurting a child, kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, oh God, from breaking into some elderly person home and taking advantage of them. It may be that word that you share today that would draw somebody closer to Jesus, to want to know this great Jesus, this person that the woman of God spoke about today. Post it on your Facebook or Twitter page, saying, state it, God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way, and there's nothing they can do about it. I love you guys so much, and I know you know that the Lord loves you too. Have a great day. Whatever you do for the rest of the day, do it to the glory of God. I hope to see you all tomorrow. If not, be blessed till we meet again in Jesus' name. Have a blessed day. God bless you. Bye-bye. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God you serve.